Hello Daisy, here's some feedback for you on the first draft of your essay, which I notice is quite short. I don't know whether you can tell me anything about that later, but anyway, I will do what I can. So I think I can see what you're trying to do with the introduction, and I would basically say that the introduction is longer than it needs to be, Daisy, really. I understand your main point, which is, seems to be that there's a remarkable similarity between the two texts in terms of plot. I think, and from the plot, we get this moral, this sense of amorality or of corrupt moral values, however you want to put it. Amorality, by the way, is not the same as immorality. Amorality means without morals. Fine. Make that point. Draw those conclusions, but do it in probably about three sentences, because you need to be showing me that you're a literature student who's able to write in a literary way, who's able to write in a kind of critically. So I need to know, I need to see you doing that as quick as possible. As soon as you've done that, then with the first main paragraph, so where I've written one, that's where I would like to see you setting up some kind of comparative point, which I can see that you are doing in relation to gossip. I think you're doing gossip, but I would quite like you to set it up in both texts, then do Handful of Dust, then do Gatsby, to show that you're being comparative early on. Okay, I'm gonna carry on. So you are going about this the right way in the sense that you've made a decision to talk about gossip as a theme, which is fine, or a little sub-theme, and then an attack on society. What you have yet to do, Daisy, and is very important, is to show me your grasp of the two writers as writers of novels. And in most cases, you seem to be saying that what both of them are using is dialogue. You finding it interesting, and I want to see much more of this, that it's the other married couple, that there is no sense of identifying who they are. It isn't important. By that, he's suggesting that this is a widespread process. It is the buzz that goes around this particular group. It doesn't matter who they are, and it would be great if you could find another example of that. I'm sure you can find other examples of that elsewhere in the novel. Likewise, in Gatsby, is it clear? Is it ever identified? You say one of the girls. We don't ever find who the girls are. So you could talk about characterization there, about the fact that this is a flat, nondescript, unimportant character as far as Fitzgerald is concerned. The point he's trying to make here is that it is a universal process, them all gossiping about Gatsby and about Gatsby's origins. Of course, I think you also ought to slot in there that it is a narrative device, that we build up a sense of mystery around the great Gatsby before he arrives. And so it is in that sense possibly less purely satirical maybe, and more about the build-up to the arrival of the protagonist in the novel, who, as you've said and indicated early on, is himself quite a biased narrator. So what he chooses to say about the gossipers, and whether or not they're leaning in or leaning out, whether they're whispering in a kind of conspiratorial fashion, or whether they're kind of more reliable characters, or almost in a more kind of detailed presentation, all of those things are important, aren't they? Okay, last bit. So you set out to do materialism. Another good thing is that this is a materialistic society is being presented, but you don't really look at the material quality of it. Just as a very brief list, you could begin with, in Gatsby, chapter 3, where all the mass of the listing, the enumeration, most of it concrete nouns of things that are created, a string of coloured lights, just a sense of excess built into the style of Fitzgerald's writing, because the sentences are quite long and quite packed with these phrases of things, these phrases that depict all the things that are put together to make the party. It's a generic thing. He doesn't say it's one party, he says it's many parties. This is a generic process that's going on every week in this household. You could look at the car, that any of the cars actually. You could look at how they're described. You could look at how they're, what they're compared to. Look at metaphor and simile there. You could look at the houses and how they're done. And of course, that would then allow you to switch over from the Great Gatsby to A Handful of Dust and look at the use of Hetton and all its sort of fine details. Why are those fine details in there? Well, certainly it gives it a very similitudinal approach, i.e. it's very like life. You know. But on the other hand, why does he choose to give us so much detail at Hetton and very little detail in London? Or does he give less detail? I don't know. There's an enormous list, though, of the stuff that's on Beaver's dressing table. Edwardian masculinity, or evidence of. And then there's an enormous list of things that Mrs. Beaver is offering to Brenda to deck out her flat. And we learn at that point that upstairs somebody's had their whole flat chromium plated, or their wall chromium plated. And how, you know, what the significance of the chrome is. And given the fact that it comes back, I think, three times in the novel, there's plenty of discussion that you can make of that, I think. You could talk about the use of Mrs. Beaver as a minor character who nonetheless is there at the beginning of the whole thing and at the end of the whole thing, and what it says about her coming in, using her dialogue, the way that she speaks. Her first line, you know, the fire didn't reach the upper bedrooms. I'm afraid, the syntax of that, why I'm afraid comes after, not before. Why it's I'm afraid at all. It could be, I'm glad to say, should be I'm glad to say if she's a decent person. But at the end, she's then making profit out of Tony's death, isn't she, with the memorial. And she even is selling Tony a flat in the alternative ending. So there's an awful lot to be done there. Again, it's all about how. The fact that in both the real ending and the alternative ending, in both, Evelyn Waugh clearly thinks it's important to bring Mrs. Beaver back, despite the fact she doesn't have a particularly pivotal role. She's not a catalyst particularly. She doesn't exercise any turning points, any of that. And yet there she is. So she's got to surely have some kind of importance in that way, in terms of the kind of, you know, the approach or the attack on society. I hope that's helpful, Daisy. I think you need to now plan out the rest and find probably another 2 points of comparison and then go into more depth with the ones you've already got, and that probably will take you up to 2,500 words. I wish you the very best with the next go.